Okay. I don't. Do you hear me already? Okay. Yeah, welcome to this, I think, fourth session already of the day. Yeah, you need headphones. If you wonder why you don't hear me loud here, you will hear me once you get your headphones. You get them on this upper floor there. My name is Tobias Hering. I'm part of this Archive Ausweisig project, for which I'm very grateful and which I have happily participated in. My part in this project was connected to the International Short Film Festival Oberhausen, which is the institutional partner of Arsenal in the project, and they have asked me to curate their reselected, the project that they had conceived of and titled Reselected. For me, it was a bit new because I was asked to take over or to curate a project which had a concept and a name before I entered the scene, which is not how I usually I was used to work. But it was very interesting. It was a very well conceived project, which at the core was the idea that the International Short Film Festival Oberhausen has a huge collection of films. And a good part of it is analog prints. And the initial idea was to look at this archive as not only as a collection of films, but as a collection of objects that have of material objects that have history, and whose history is often inscribed in the object or is readable elsewhere in the archive. There's a huge paper archive, an archive of correspondences from the history of the festival, whose first edition was in 1954. It's considered the oldest short film festival in the world. So there is this archive, which the idea was to look at films primarily as archival objects, and how this perspective, in a way, shifts a little bit our understanding of them, and also maybe of archival practices or film historic approaches in general. For this occasion, the film that we're going to see is in a way a very good example for this initial idea, although in the course of the 4 years there were also programs that I curated both in the festival or at Arsenal or in some of our occasions where we presented as a group that were not so closely linked to an archival object, but were more like a link to maybe the reception history of a particular film, or the role of the Short Film Festival Oberhausen as a platform for different kinds of transnational meetings. So my perspective to curate programs from the archive was also, I was taking certain liberties. But here with this program, we're really coming back to this core idea of looking at a print and its peculiarities. The basic idea, and this was also the motto, is that every copy, which is the print, is an original. So when we hold an analog film print, we're holding in our hands an original, an unikat. Even if it's not a unique and the only surviving print of a film, which of course is also sometimes the case, but even if it's any random print of a film that exists in numerous copies, this every particular copy of a print has had a different history of circulation, of perception, and is different from any other one. Sometimes it's already the subtitle, sometimes it's the edits and often it's the material status of it, which is the case for the print that we're going to see today. We're only going to see the first few minutes of this print, and then we will see a digital file. And I will explain briefly why it will, hoping that it won't come across as shying away from the concept, but dealing with the concept of the project. We wanted to show, we did show this film at Arsenal in January in a program that was around the New York film curator Amos Vogel. Maybe you can show this image from the film. This is a still from the film we're going to see, Wink vom Nachbarn. And when we showed this film at Arsenal in the context of the Amos Vogel homage or tribute program in January, the idea, I showed it because it depicts the International Short Film Festival Oberhausen in 1966. And Amos Vogel was a very important and influential person in Oberhausen throughout the whole 1960s. And in 1966, he was the programmer for the American selection. We will see that the critique that Heinowski and Shorman are launching against the Oberhausen Short Film Festival and the Western film world in toto, in a way, is very much in confrontation with Amos Vogel's own curatorial, ethical and political and aesthetics and aesthetic values. But at the same time, Amos Vogel was very interested in Heinowski and Scheumann's work. He was familiar with it from the early 60s onwards. He saw their films first in Oberhausen, where they showed almost every year as part of the East German selection. So he encountered the films in Oberhausen, and proof of his respect of their work, even if he wasn't sharing their political and aesthetic decisions, is that he devoted an entire chapter in his book, which came out in 1974 and is a still a standard of film history, film as a subversive art. He dedicated an entire chapter to East German films. And it's entitled "Against the West," three of the five films in this chapter are by Heinowski and Scheumann. So there was a lot in there in terms of a possible dialogue or a confrontation or a conversation between Heinowski, Scheumann, being two propagandists of East German. The East German state film production DEFA, and Amos Vogel, who was an avid fighter against any form of oppression, and who was a libertarian in his views on the world and especially and also on film, which made him an opponent of this kind of authoritarian style which Heinowski and Scheumann employed in order to bring across their political ideas, but which also made him in a way tolerant to any form of film, including such propaganda. So there's this interesting rubbing of different concepts and also maybe some kind of proximity, because Amos Vogel, being an American, was of course a critical citizen of his country, and the anti-American tone of Heinowski and Scheumann's films, but also of a lot of the films that he was exposed to in Oberhausen. Oberhausen was a very leftist and in the 60s, because of the Vietnam War, explicitly anti-American. There was an anti-American atmosphere in the festival. He was not completely in contradiction with that, because he shared, of course, many of the political critiques that were expressed in such films against the Vietnam War in particular. This is a still which that is the reason I'm showing it. As there's two reasons. One, we see Amos Vogel in this image. He's here. So this is Gerhard Scheumann, who we will see a lot in this film. And there's a very brief moment when we also see Amos Vogel. It's the lobby of the festival hall in Oberhausen. Amos Vogel and Richard Raud. Richard Raud and Amos Vogel were at the time co-directors of the New York Film Festival. And Richard Raud was in Oberhausen as with the British delegation as a member of the BFI. And Amos Vogel was there as a member of the international jury and the presenter of the American program. So they were, it's a very, and I like this image because it shows a proximity and a closeness and kind of shows the moment when I would like to intervene and ask them, well, turn around and maybe talk to get to each other for a while. It could be interesting, but this dialogue in a way took place, and this is what I'm, and it's a work in progress. I started to collect documents in this folder, which you will find outside on the shelf, which can be taken as elements of a dialogue that is basically speculated in here, but it never really took place. It's letters that Vogel wrote to the Oberhausen Festival concerning also the films of Hainowski and Scheumann. It is documents, correspondences between the festival and the GDR film officials. It is some documents that that show that how the films of Hainowski and Scheumann created controversy and political scandals behind the scenes in Oberhausen. And at the end there's a section with photos from the festival archive which show Amos Vogel in Oberhausen in 66 and also the GDR delegation including Hainowski and Scheumann. And then at the end there are several pages from Amos Vogel's books, the chapter that I just mentioned, which again shows his way of dealing with the enemy, which he would not have used that term, but of course, but it is used in Hainowski and Scheumann's language. So this is the attempt of this dispositif here. The second reason that I'm showing you this, or the second interesting little story about this image, is that when I saw the film the first time, I saw it as a 60 millimeter print in the Oberhausen at the archive. The print which we're going to see the first 3 minutes from. This print. It is not clear. The Oberhausen archive is very orderly. There's a database. This database is also accessible online. The whole archive is. There's no secrets about this archive to the archive itself in a certain way. There is a room, however, where there are some things that nobody is really sure what is inside. There are also the vinegar prints are in a separate room. Things where the labels got lost or mixed up, and things that just. But this is very. And I think at Arsenal Archive there's much more of this stuff. Stefanie always refers to it as war plötzlich da, things that showed up and nobody really knows where they come from. This print is one of the very few objects in the Oberhausen archive to which this label would apply, because nobody who's working there today can tell why this print is there. It's not listed, so I just happened on it when I entered this room and was just at a free hour or something and was happened on this reel, 60 millimeter reel. The only other trace of this film in the archive is a text list, a German text list of it, in the paper archive. The print The film never showed in the festival, although it is about the festival. It might have shown in a retrospective in the 90s, but I haven't been able to confirm this. It doesn't show in any catalogs. So there's not really clear why this print is there. The print is a very bad print of this film. We assume, together with Markus and others who have, I've watched it many times, others who have seen it have different, everyone has a bit of a different assumption, but it was probably filmed with a 16mm camera, either from a projection or, I think, more likely from television. It does have the original GDR television. The film was filmed in Oberhausen in March and immediately aired or broadcast on GDR television at the end of March 1966 and then never again. So it had one airing. What we see here looks a bit like something filmed from a television screen, although I'm hesitant to say it as a fact, because I think it would even look worse imagining a television from 1966. But it does have the original GDR introduction, which is not archived in the archive of the GDR television at Potsdam-Babelsberg, Deutsches Rundfunkarchiv, where the film is archived. They have two 35mm prints and a digital file, but they don't have this Anmoderation, the introduction, the short introduction, which is very important, though. You will see why, because we will show this introduction from the 16mm print, and then, because under the circumstances that we have here, which create an additional obstacle to watching the already very blurred and not very clear print, we will then switch to the digital file. So we will watch the film from the digital file. Last thing to say, when I watched the film for the first time, the print does not show, it does show when you know that there is this moment, then you can tell. But if you watch it on a 16mm Moviola or Steinbeck, you cannot identify Amos Vogel and Richard Raut. It's too dark, it's too blurry. So it was only possible when we showed the film from the 35mm print from the Rundfunkarchiv at Arsenal that we actually saw this image for the first time with Amos Vogel. And it needed someone, Birgit Kohler in this case, to also be in the room and confirm that this is Amos. I'm not even sure if I would have been able to really identify him within these 2 seconds. So this is part of the kind of stories around working with different copies of the same film. I think we will now start the projection. Bodo, who I thank for his efforts in setting this up, will project from this 16mm projector, which was part of the original setup of this space, which is being reenacted here through this little hole in the wall. We will show this first introduction, and you will see a text, which is also part of the Oberhausen print, and a Texttafel, which is definitely not part of the original film, because it uses the word Ostzone for the GDR, and that's a very Western term. It would never have been used in East Germany. So this marks this print as a print that was made in West Germany for purposes that I haven't been able to certify yet. So, and then we will switch to the digital print, and Jörg Taschmann, who is also here, will provide the English subtitles, which we made specifically for this screening. Okay, I hope this wasn't too lengthy, and I will be back for maybe with Stephanie or with you for a discussion and questions afterwards. So have fun with the film. Yeah, I don't even know how many people of you who are now here are already here for the next program or who have actually seen the film. Because I think those who saw the film all left because they thought the next program will start. So there's not much to discuss, really, in this case. At least not with you. Yes, I can. Well, I just repeat, anyone who's interested in such questions as why selected this film, there's one of the folders outside is a collection of documents from the Oberhausen Archive, in which I try to suggest a dialogue between the makers of this film, Walter Heinowski and Gerhard Scheumann, who were documenting the Oberhausen Festival in 1966 from their very own perspective. The more often I see the film, the more layered and complex I find it, and also worth studying. A dialogue between the makers of the film and Amos Vogel, the New York film curator, who was an instrumental and very influential person in Oberhausen in the 1960s, and who had some of the similar criticisms that Heinowski and Scheumann had against the festival, but also from a very different perspective. So this dialogue never really took place. And I wish it had, because Vogel was an admirer of Heinowski and Scheumann's films, even though he did not share their ideological viewpoint. But he admired their expertise in creating very well-made polemical documentaries for specific political purposes, which he felt was part of what cinema can do and always has done. And that no one is really free from this temptation to use film as a means for political power. So, yeah, this is a suggestion. There's a lot of interesting documents around this film, and this debate also between the two Germanies at the time and the presence of East German critique of West Germany in Oberhausen, and how this was perceived in the press, etc. Some of this you will find in this folder. And then I just Ben will be on screen, so I cannot really hand the microphone to him. But I wish you a good follow-up session and a good rest of this event. Thank you. Yeah, but then you must use this microphone. It's there's rules in this room that are not written on the wall.
Does it work?
It should work.
Do you hear me?
No, I don't. No.
Tobias, have you heard about this project in the 80s that a couple was invited to make a documentary in, I think it was Wismar, and they came from West Germany, and on the other hand around, somebody was invited from East Germany to make a documentary in West Germany, and it was I don't remember where it was. But have you heard about this, that they had this exchange?
I know about the film that sounds very much like it, but would not be the same, which was a collaboration between the DEFA and the Amber Film Collective in the UK in 87. Amber made a film on the port on Rostock and the.
Yes, and it was Great Britain then.
Yes, and then DEFA went to Newcastle upon Tyne.
Yeah, exactly, thank you.
Yes, and the film is called From Marx and Engels to Marx and Spencer. it's a very...
That's the one that it was a real exchange. So it was the view from the east to the western country and the view from a western country to an eastern country.
Yes, but these things only became, I mean, the history of the film production of DEFA and the its readiness or openness to include a critical perspective on the GDR itself was, I think one can say, was very late. I mean, starting in the middle of the 80s. But this film is not, this film, if in the comparison, of course, Rostock and the GDR wins over Newcastle and the capitalist UK, because Ember was also a socialist collective. And so this film is not really, it's an interesting collaboration, but it's certainly not a sign of self-criticism from the perspective of the GDR. But in 1966, the film that you haven't seen, but the moment is very delicate, because in December 65 was the 11th plenum of the Socialist, the Central Committee of the Socialist Party, which was the governing power structure in the GDR. And this plenum is called the Kahlschlag Plenum today. It's called the plenum in which cultural policies ended what had been a sort of spring feeling in the early 60s and a bit more liberal attitudes in the beginning of the GDR. In 65, there was a clash down, and a lot of films were put to the cellars, were forbidden, were taken out of circulation. A lot of filmmakers were not allowed to work anymore from that moment onwards. And with Heinowski and Scheumann making this film in 66 from a very regime friendly perspective was a very problematic moment, because they claimed to represent East German filmmakers who are not allowed to present their films in Oberhausen, who are banned from Oberhausen, while at the same time they were among those who were supported by the regime, while other colleagues of them in the future were not allowed to work anymore. So their position is not, from a historical perspective, their position within this East German discourse is not a very not a very favorable one. Historically they don't come across very well, but their criticism of West Germany and of the of what that they do, criticizing the continuation of Nazi biographies into West German politics and West Germany supporting oppressive regimes in the global South. That, of course, was a very valid point to make, and a very strong point to make in Oberhausen at the time. So it's a very complex film, and it will be shown here again on the 16th of April in this kind of follow-up screening program. And again, you're welcome to watch it free of admission, I think.